Hello, everyone. We're here all the way from Syracuse, and we bring greetings from the Syracuse International Christian Church. It's awesome to be here for the marriage retreat, and the title of the message today is God's Consuming Blaze of Glory. Marriage, God's Consuming Blaze of Glory. Amen. Turn with me to Song of Songs, chapter 7, verse 10 through 11. It says, I belong to my lover, and his desire is for me. Come, my lover, let us go to the countryside. Let us spend the night in the villages. And you know, Joe Chapetta did a great job reserving this hotel because it is the Holiday Inn countryside. And so, you know, I just wanted you guys to know that this whole thing is ordained by God to help our marriages. Amen? So let's read 2 Chronicles 7 to start out today. And we're going to talk about how marriage is God's consuming blaze of glory. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1, says, When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down, and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good. His love endures forever. Skip down to verse 12. The Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Check this out. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there.
Wow.
It's just an incredible passage where Solomon prays. And what happens? The temple is filled with the glory of the Lord.
Yes.
And it's amazing because this is a fiery scene.
Yeah.
Fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering. You know, fire consumed Elijah's offering. All throughout the Bible, fire and glory are together.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how God answers this prayer.
Mm-hmm.
This sacrifice, this relationship with God. How does He answer it? Look back in verse 12 and at the end there. And verse 16, my eyes and my heart will always be there.
Wow.
And I think about what makes us the most blessed people on the earth is that we actually have God's eyes and God's heart near us.
Come on, bro.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?
Yeah,
truly, there's nothing greater in the world than having God's eyes and heart. And that's our relationship with God.
Yeah.
He lives inside of us by His Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We have His eyes. We have His heart. And I think if we remain in this relationship, we remain in this vibrant relationship, there's nothing that our marriages won't be able to accomplish.
Yeah.
Our marriages are completely and utterly dependent on the glory of God.
Yeah.
And filling us with the glory.
Yeah.
You know, I believe the essential question today for all of us today is, will we be consumed by God's fire and His glorious purpose for our marriages, or will we be burned by the flames of this world?
No.
Are we going to be consumed by God's fire, or are we going to be burned by the world?
Mm-hmm.
And there's really no in between, is there?
Nope.
Here, the offering, what God wants us to have, is the fire. And we're going to have 4 points today. All right? 4 points. The first point is fan the flames of the Spirit. Now, I want to ask you a question.
Come on.
For you guys, just throw out some things about the movie that really impacted you. Go ahead, just raise your hand. Throw out a couple things that you felt like really impacted you from the movie, Fireproof. Sarah?
Never leave your partner.
Never leave your partner, good.
How the husband saved the girl by going in and risking his own life and falling into hell.
Right. Right, save the girl, but then the line from the movie was, won't you even save your marriage? Wow, come on.
I think
think the thing that really challenged me the most was how the guy did a couple good things for his wife, and she totally rejected him.
Yeah.
And like, I wouldn't have made it to day 20.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That was really
convincing. That was convincing. Roger?
I think just his the first 20 days when he didn't give his heart, and then the radical change through humility that took place where he really gave his heart, and the incredible difference there were.
Come on. Come on. Pam, and then behind. Frisa, go ahead. Frisa, get your first, and then Pam. That's right. Didn't he say, what day are you on?
Yeah.
Or she said, and then he said 43 or something like that.
Yep.
That was awesome. All right, finish it out with Pam here. Oh, amen. One more. Go ahead, Jay.
I think the thing that hit me the most was how it broke her when she saw his sacrifice. When he gave up that 26,000.
Yeah.
That was his God. And he gave it up. And to meet her parents' needs, and it just broke her.
Yeah. Yes, to start a fire. Up north in northern Minnesota, that's where I'm from, we used to start the s'mores fire. It's a very big tradition in our family. And what you do is you go down to the beach by Lake Superior, and it's really cold usually, and you put a ring of stones, okay? And then you put the kindling, little tiny bits of driftwood that come up on the shore. But they are really dry, and it just burns right away. And then you get the match, and you get a little bigger firewood and stuff like that. Make the little teepee, right?
Yep.
Boy Scouts, come on. I never was a Boy Scout, but I guess I was trained in that part. So then you start the fire. But then what do? You fan the fire. You blow the fire. Right? You get it going.
Yep.
And then once it gets going, it's a blaze.
Yep.
And you put the birch bark on it. Anyone who knows northern Minnesota, birch wood just explodes. I mean, it literally just catches on fire. The birch is incredible firewood.
Yep.
And so that's what I want to talk about, the first point. Fanning the flames of the Spirit. Look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 through 7. Let me get my wife talking here because she's awesome. 2 Timothy, verse 1, 6 through 7. So much to learn from this movie. Let's see what the scriptures say here. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So what are the flames of the God Spirit? Power, love, and self-discipline.
Yeah.
You know, it's up to us to really fan into flames.
Yeah.
Interesting, in Acts 2, the tongues of fire, what seemed like tongues of fire, came down.
Yeah.
The Spirit wants to burn things. It wants to consume things. And it wants to work in your life.
Yes.
And that's what we each have as disciples. You can write down Exodus 3, verses 1 through 10. We don't have time to go into it. But Moses saw God in a burning bush.
Yes.
And the bush did not get consumed.
Yes.
And so God basically said, I'm going to send someone to save all of Israel. I'm sending you. That's what happened when those flames came up.
Yes.
Hebrews 12, turn to there. Hebrews 12.
Come on, bro.
And I just want to get a really good foundation here about what the flames of the Spirit are. Hebrews 12, verse 18. Says, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, or storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. Verse 22. But you have come to the Chicago International Christian Church.
Amen.
You have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly.
Amen.
To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You know, the awful power of God's holy mountain. If you even touched the mountain, if an animal or a human being touched the mountain, it would just be consumed by fire. But that's been replaced, been fulfilled by now, by God allowing all of the joyful singing of the saints to be that fire now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the fire is now. And therefore, there's really nothing that we can't do.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Do you see the theme here?
Yep.
There's nothing that Moses couldn't do. There's nothing that we can't do.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that our marriage can't overcome.
Come on.
This is the Spirit of God. We've been given the Spirit. And let me have Carrie Sushi.
Amen. Well, we've been married for, this July will be 15 years. We were both baptized as college students back in the New York City ICOC at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That was about 20 years ago for my husband, 19 for me. And we, like I said, we've been married about 15 years. So in that time, I think there's been lots of back and forth with who is the one fanning the flame,
yep,
helping each other.
That's right.
When 2003 hit, we both pulled back,
yep,
a lot in our discipleship, certainly in leadership. And at that point, Chris had been teaching. And, you know, that was a really great job, teaching. He was done at like 2:30, 5 minutes away. Just go over to the Brooms after that and spend hours with them. I thought, you know what, this is great. We will just do this and train, and then we'll support ourselves when he has that teacher's retirement. You know, that was my vision. But then in 2003, Chris decided to take a job that was full-time, 40 minutes away. And lots of other things happened to douse the flame. You know, there was other... We decided to send our daughter to private school. We had a death in the family. These were all things that could douse the flame.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in 2004, Chris Broom inspired Chris to have the vision of... 4 churches in 4 years. We,
yep,
can do it by God.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
And that was the fanning of the flame. My husband really fanned the flame back in me for the mission.
Yeah, come on.
But then in 2005, we moved an hour away to start a house church. And Chris was going after his next degree to be a principal and administrator in schools. And he was working a lot of hours. So then it was kind of my turn to fan the flame and to really believe that we could still be fruitful and God would use us. But then 2006, a lot of you guys moved here.
Amen.
And then I needed some fanning.
Yeah.
Come on. But that's our marriage is... really, both of us going wholehearted with God, but not giving up when the other needs some fanning of flame of the Spirit.
Come on.
So that led to 2007. We moved back to Syracuse to train for the ministry, and 2008, having the dream fulfilled of being able to serve the church there. So the whole time it's been back and forth, but we've been inspiring each other.
Yeah.
And I think, I find that, you know, Chris will joke, he'll say, I'll come home and I'll be like, oh, this study was so amazing, or so great seeing that sister change in a discipling time, or he'll say, you're so sexy when you're spiritual. But it's true because we're more attractive.
Keep the truth in love.
Come on, bro.
You know, if I'm not about God's mission, if I'm not fanning the flame, then I'm not as attractive.
Come on.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. That's awesome. Pop quiz. Okay. Do you get the Spirit by a process or at one specific point? What's your first answer? Go ahead. Okay. When you're baptized, Romans 6, it's a fact.
Yep.
Jesus died, you get to participate in that death, and you're raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
You have God's Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
What Satan really gets us, guys,
is that all of a sudden we get in this mindset that we got to kind of work up to the Spirit. And that somehow we have to get to this level of spirituality before we do anything for God or fan the flame. You know what I'm saying? And I just, what's helped me is really going back to the Scriptures. No, I have the Spirit of God. I've been given power, love, self-discipline.
Come on.
I've been given that. And now it's up to me to fan it. And for me, you know, when I don't have those excuses that, oh, you know, this process. Absolutely, sanctification is a process. But you know what? You have the Spirit.
Yeah.
And I think we got to claim that as disciples. Amen?
Amen.
So fan the flames of the Spirit. You know, you see it in the movie. After 21 days, he makes a decision, you know, through a myriad of events. And the father was awesome in this role. I mean, he's just like, come on, son, you can do it. But that is convicting to see how few relationships he really had.
Yep.
And I know we have so much to be grateful for those kind of relationships. So 21 days, all of a sudden it hits him. I've been doing this out of a sense of obligation. Mm-hmm. Been going through the motions, right? And then as soon as he gave himself, he fanned the flames. And the flames started to be rekindled.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see it. His motivation kicked in. All of his strength and his energy, everything, his facial. Didn't he change physically?
Yeah.
I mean, he went from this ogre, like scaring her, to this soft, gentle spirit that would do anything for his wife.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the Spirit of God inside of us. All right, the second point. You got to fan the flames of the Spirit. The second one is investigate the smoke.
Come on.
All right, investigate the smoke. So, all right, the first thing we got to do to investigate the smoke is deal with the parasites. All right, you guys remember that in the movie?
Yeah.
The parasites, at this specific point, the Love Dare book, which is the book that he's going through, it basically talks about addiction. And if there's any addiction in the marriage that's undealt with, it will kill your marriage.
Yeah.
And I think for me, the thing that he was struggling with was internet pornography.
Yep.
And it was very clear that, and she even said, you know, I can't even compete with this.
Yep.
And for me, I think God has blessed us with a purity, but I know it's not for me. And I know that I was very impure in the world. When I became a Christian, I still struggled with impurity until I had a really worldly relationship inside the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
As a disciple. And I almost fell away. And you know, at some point, I'll be honest with you guys, the sister shared with a couple in tears that she said, I feel like if I wanted to, I could seduce him.
Yeah.
That's what she felt so unprotected, so insecure, that it made her sick in our relationship. And I had to get to that point where I just saw my sin and I saw how much it hurt someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Trench foot is something that if you're going through the jungle, you can get trench foot.
Yep.
And it's this thing, you don't even see it happening. It happens inside, bacteria. It actually eats away at your flesh from the inside out. And that's what this sin of sexual impurity does.
Wow.
It eats at your marriage from the inside out. And you can see how much it captivated this guy's heart.
Yep.
And he couldn't turn away from it. And I think for us, if that's our sin, we've got to deal with it.
Come on.
We've got to deal with the internet pornography. Romans 8:13 says, for if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God.
Yep.
So I know for me it was years of putting the Spirit, what the Spirit wanted in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
For years. And it didn't look like all of a sudden it got to this level of purity and then I just stayed there.
Right.
What it looks like is every day you confess.
Yep.
And every day you add to what the Spirit has done in your life.
Yep.
And every day you build this power in the Spirit.
Yep.
And it's Romans 8 all over the place. So I know for us up in Syracuse, there's a brother, and actually it's not in Syracuse, but there's a brother that shared this with me that he, for 3 months, decided to not have sexual relations with his wife because of the emotional trauma that he had put her through, because of the internet pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And what he realized was he had so much hurt her and humiliated her
and put her in a place where she couldn't trust him. That he needed to build that back up. Now, I'd say get a lot of advice. But guys, this radical idea of, wait a second, I'm taking responsibility for it. I'm not going to go to you to meet my physical needs because I don't even deserve to have this relationship. I think that's the kind of heart that we need. This is a heart of gratitude. That's a heart, I'll do whatever it takes, you know, to change. So I think the best defense is an offense in dealing with this impurity. The best defense is an offense. So what do husbands need to do? We need to decide to romance our wives. We need to decide. It doesn't matter if it's awkward. It doesn't matter if there's some things that we need to learn about that or relearn or unlearn from the world. But to romance our wives, to have that special time that we're setting up, to have those dates, to have those special little communications throughout the day, those special notes. We've got to romance our wives. And that helps our hearts.
Yeah.
That helps purify our hearts in a great way.
You know, I think sometimes as sisters, we can look at the struggles of our husbands and kind of write them off or categorize them. But the way Chris put it is we can surf our own web, and it's in our minds with our thoughts. So to the sisters, I wanted to read Psalm 10. Verse 4, it says, in her pride, the wicked does not see God, him, meaning God. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. So while we might not be surfing the internet, but our thoughts consumed with things that are crowding out God.
Yeah.
This says that the wicked were... there's no room for God. So for me, I think I can be tempted to seek answers, to seek solutions, to seek relief. Like that can be the addiction in my thoughts rather than going to God and thinking and praying and surrendering. There's a sister who said to me, my mind's racing at night. I'm just thinking and thinking and trying to figure things out. I can't sleep. I wish there was some way that I could shut off my mind and relax so I could sleep. And I said, there is. It's called sex. Like, what if instead of fretting, every time we were fretting in our minds, we just stopped, prayed, and then jumped our husbands.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. I love that point. Come on, let's have an amen. Brothers, amen.
The truth is we both need that. We both need that. And it's a role that we can't delegate to anyone else. So I think that it does protect our husbands, but we really need that ourselves, that discipline of seeking God, surrendering, and then meeting our husband's needs.
Awesome. So, guys, I'm driving to my first day at work. This is 15 years ago. And I just got a new old Volvo. And it's really old. So it was like 79. It was like the tank. It was awesome. So I'm driving. And the night before, I had noticed this little, what seemed to be something like steam or something in the little gauge that someone had put up. He was an electrician who had the car before. So he put in some more gauges. I didn't know what they did. You know, for those of you who know me, I have really no clue about cars except for accelerator and brake. Amen? So, bottom line is, the next day, you know, kind of ignoring that steam thing, I go to work, and as soon as I put the car into park, it was about a half an hour drive, my entire windshield burst into flames. And smoke started pouring through the vents. And I'm like, I gotta get my bag! I grab my bag with my Bible and my day timer. I'm like, get out of the car! So I'm like one of the first ones in the parking lot. But then it was just the timing. Everyone started driving in the parking lot as my car is now engulfed in flames.
And what had happened was the electrician had not grounded the gauge. And basically the entire thing was just absolutely consumed with flames. And the oxygen, this is the other thing about fires, is the oxygen hadn't gotten to the fire yet because we were still moving. And so as soon as I hit stop, park, I didn't hit the red lights, I guess, on my way to work. But as soon as I hit it, everything just got the oxygen and the fire was consumed. So for me, investigating the smoke has a very special meaning. Because I was always known as the guy whose car exploded in a flame at that job. Because that was day one of my job. So, amen. So guys, check this out. Dealing with greed. In the movie, right at the beginning, they talked about, hey, you know, I decided to pay for this, and you decided to pay for that. No. They had separate finances. And I think this is a huge area of smoke, if not downright flames. And for us, you know, we've never had our finances separate, but due to the grace of God and people in our lives who gave us this very simple, why in the world would you have your finances separate? And they just taught us, you're one. Everything is together. And it's going to train you to work together and not to think alike. But the challenge is not to think alike, it's to think together. Okay? And with finances, I think it just brings out this smoke of greed. And so that was a red flag. There's two brothers I'm so proud of in Syracuse. They're repenting of financial greed. And these are strong in many ways brothers in the Lord. But one brother said, he got up just recently, and he said, you know what? My house, after 10 years, is just a house again. Before, it was my dream. Now, I've gotten to the point where I've let go of it, and it's just a house again. And you know, he said it with such a joy and a freedom. It was like the noose is gone. And you guys know what I'm talking about. There are people with 3, 4, 5, 6 mortgages. And maybe even us in this room. I know this guy's dealing with that in our church. 6 mortgages. That's just enough to burn your marriage right there. And I think dealing with it is incredible. The other brother was so inspiring. He said, I was seduced by the American dream and didn't realize after 10 years of being a disciple how lukewarm I had become. This brother is now willing to do whatever it takes to get out of his financial debt. And, you know, just coming up here on the radio, there's a Dave Ramsey radio program. Some of you guys might be in and know about it. This is without the Spirit of God. A woman in 32 months was able to get rid of a wife and a husband, but the woman decided. And so she was the one fanning the flames at the beginning. Someone's got to decide. Someone's got to decide to get rid of this debt, get rid of this financial greed in our lives. And so they got rid of $72,000 in 32 months. That's incredible. That's without God's Spirit, most likely. I don't know the relationship with God. But she wasn't saying anything about God.
Well, there you go.
So, guys, that's amazing. You want to say okay. I'm going to have my wife share about this. So, dealing with the greed.
Yeah, dealing with the greed, I think for women, it can turn into maybe it's greed, but it's also a lot of fear about the finances. You know, a very standard vow is for richer or for poorer. And that is the least, you know, as disciples, our vow should be much more than that. But certainly, whether we're rich or poor, that shouldn't rock our marriage.
Right.
I think of Matthew 6, you know, some of us have lost perspective because that talks about not worrying about what you'll eat, drink, or wear. Look at us. Like, we have clothes, we have food, we have a night in a hotel. And I think we can lose the perspective of what it really looks like to cut back and to downsize and to sacrifice because we're not to the point where we're like, okay, God, I need to trust you. I will have food and drink today. You know, we're really not at that point. And that's the level of worry that Jesus was addressing in the Bible. In Psalm 37, 25 and 26, it says, I've never seen the righteous begging for bread.
Come on.
And that's right. Think we just need to believe the scriptures as sisters and encourage each other to believe the scriptures are true,
yeah.
And that we're not going to crash to this unreturnable point if we trust God. A great example of this is a sister, Deborah Mirez, who moved to she moved with her family of seven to Washington, D.C.
Come on.
And it was a hard move. She got to share in January all her repentance because they did go down there with her husband not having a job. And they thought they had money for 2 months. But then they got to D.C.
Yeah.
Mm.
And they realized that was so not true. which I'm sure, you know, here it's more the same kind of cost of living.
Yeah.
But she just decided to trust God and to take advice and not give way to fear. And as a result, she applied to every opportunity. And so for Christmas, oh my goodness, her kids got presents that were like far more than they ever would have spent from different organizations and charities.
Mm-hmm.
And God has met the needs. People have dropped off food. People have given them money. And they are faithful. And I think the most impressive illustration of it is we got their Christmas card. And my daughter said, wow, look at how much happier they are.
Mm, that's right.
Looked at their last
that's
year
right.
card and their this year card.
Come on.
No money.
Amazing.
Not knowing how they're making rent.
That's
no
it.
Job. Seven
pay.
Of them. The oldest 12. You
yep.
know, I mean, well, she'll be 13 next week. But you know, it's just a great example of not giving way to fear about our finances, and that fear is not going to help our husbands make decisions. It's only going to tear them down.
If you saw in your children's room, I know many of us have children, at night, a little wisp of smoke coming up from one of the electrical outlets.
Oh, yeah.
We just close the door and just kind of like, oh, you know. But that's what we do
come
with
on.
Greed.
Come on.
We don't deal with it, you guys.
Yeah.
And we see it in each other, and it's like that one of those things that I believe we're going to stand before God, whether we're going to say the truth in love. We've got to deal with it in each other's lives. And there's a good way to deal with it. There's a loving way, a patient way, a visionary way. The best way I know is repent yourself.
Yep.
And lead by repentance. But I think we would deal with it radically if we saw it as smoke leading to fire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So anyway, we've got to really deal with that. The third part of the smoke that we need to deal with is worldly communication. And my wife's going to share. Oh, I'll share first. Amen. Look at James 1. Turn with me to James. You guys still going? Amen? Amen. I heard it was a challenging week for many of you. But, you know, there's nothing like getting the scriptures to inspire us. Amen. All right, look at verse 19, James 1. Oh, this is one dear to my heart. James 1, verse 19 to 20. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires.
Mm.
And, you know, my anger is my greatest weakness. It is the thing for me that just shows me my need for God over and over. I mean, Roger can attest.
Yeah.
How many times have I called Roger dealing with parenting?
Come on.
And impatience and anger. And it's just some, one of those sinful nature things. You know, my anger doesn't look like the anger where that guy was, you know, cornering his wife
yeah.
and shouting at her.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, when I saw that scene, I was broken.
Come on,
I was like, man, my anger does the same thing to Carrie Sue.
Mm-hmm.
I turned to her at that point. I think it was at that point. I turned to her. I apologized. Because I see, my anger, I'll back up. I'll be silent. But that is anger.
Yeah.
I do not want to engage.
No.
Because I'm not being whatever I think I'm not being. Respected, listened to, whatever it is. And I want the control of anger
yeah.
to make it known
yeah.
And it's the same thing as if I were yelling at my wife, cornering her. Do you know what I mean? That, to me, that was so powerful in the movie. Just to see her. Wow. My relationship. Wow. So for me, I've really got to deal with that smoke. Seeing the effect of that, it totally undermines the confidence of a daughter of God. Like, anger is probably one of the biggest things that undermines our wives' security. And you see it, you know, the woman felt humiliated. She felt like he didn't understand her, her need to be made secure, to be thought of, to be considered. So I think anger is one of those things that we got to really make sure, are we dealing with it?
Mm-hmm.
Are we dealing, especially husbands? And I know my wife wants to share as well.
I'm just going to go to James 3.
Come on. Keep it turning.
In verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Mm-hmm. Amen. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You know, it talks about considering what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. And that's what our tongues are.
That's right.
It's a small part of the body, but it's the strongest muscle in the body.
That's right.
And we've got to stop and consider and think rather than just letting our tongues go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is very challenging for me. The day one of the DARE challenge is very challenging for me to not say anything negative. It's just very hard. I decided, okay, I'm going to really try this. I'm going to try to not say anything negative. And after 2 days, I was so miserable. My husband was like, it's still in there and you're not dealing with it. You know, because Matthew 12:34, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's got to be dealing with the heart. So stopping saying something is just the beginning of not letting the fire get out of control.
Right.
But it's so much more than that, because that's just the first step, to not let the words burn. That's just the first step.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be confessing the evil thoughts.
Yep.
Rather than a venting rage and then confessing or apologizing later. But stopping and considering first and then getting the help so that we can communicate better.
Come on. You know, this is encouraging. Chris and Teresa have recently helped us with this. That actually, something Chris said, I don't even know if you know, it really helped us. But what it was Chris was saying that he's learning how to listen more. Listen all the way through to the end. And you think it's the end because all of a sudden an issue comes up that you're really ticked off about and you really don't feel good about and you really feel like needs to be dealt with right now. But it says, be slow. What does it say? Quick to listen, slow to be angry,
slow to speak,
and slow to be angry. So you got to be slow to speak so you can listen.
Mm-hmm.
If you're speaking, you're not hearing. And a lot of times, Terry Sue will be trying to get out. Yeah, maybe it starts negative.
Yep.
But if I would just listen a little bit longer, then it comes out. If she doesn't want to be that way, she wants to get it out.
That's right.
She wants to repent. She wants my help. But I'm taking it as she's just being negative.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, she's being negative again.
Oh.
And I'm like, now I'm being angry again. Now I'm not being helpful again. Now I'm not being forgiving again. So I just see that in the mirror for me. I know probably husbands, it can be helpful to you. Try it. Listen longer than you usually listen. It's a muscle. That listening muscle. You got to work it out. Come on, guys. We can't be weak sauce in the listening muscle. Amen? All right. Number three. Run away from the flame thrower. First point was fan the flames of the Spirit. Second was investigate the smoke. Third one is run away from the flamethrower. And Ephesians 6, we don't have time to really read a lot of it, but I want to read one part of it. Ephesians 6. Did you know Satan was the flamethrower?
Oh, come on.
Talk it out. It says in verse 16, in addition to all this, he's talking about all the weapons of God. Put on the full armor of God, right?
Yep.
Take your stand against the devil's schemes. So verse 16 of Ephesians 6. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. All right, our shield of faith. Now, there were even shields built for two people to carry in the battlefield.
Wow.
And, you know, as a marriage, we've got to take up our shield of faith and carry it together.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just really, okay, honey, you got to repent. You know, I'm waiting for you. That is not the shield of faith. Our faith's got to be, and we got to fan the flames of the Spirit when each other's weak. But we also got to pull up that shield. You know, for us, it never fails. If one of us just says out loud during a fight, Satan is attacking, it changes.
Wow.
All of a sudden, our mindset, we just get into battle mode. And we've learned how to do that.
Yeah.
We have the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You have the Spirit of God. But if you don't get into that mode, you're not going to fight Satan.
Wow. That's right.
So get the shield of faith and douse the flames of the evil one. So, you know, it's pretty cool. Really, the whole Love Dare book, the 40 days, is really about a plan of repentance.
Yeah.
And you see him walking through it. It's not an emotional thing. He doesn't feel great about doing it for the first 21 days. Right? And then later on, you find out that the mother is the one that took the love dare. You think it's the father who took the love dare. He's sharing with his, you know, son, here, try what I've tried. It's the mother who did it. It's intense. So it's the plan that we need to make us really follow through.
Yep.
How many of you can think of things that you have not followed through on even this year? Things that you've said you're going to do, change.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, can we raise our hands again? Just look around. All right, so we're all fellows in the ship, right? This is all fellowship. We're all in the same boat. We struggle with the same things. So step one. I got four steps for you. Decide that you will commit to a plan of repentance because your marriage and your God deserve your best.
Amen.
So the first thing is decide. You're going to commit to a plan. You pick up that 40-day, whatever you want, whatever your plan is going to be, and we'll talk more about that in the D groups, but you decide to commit to it.
Yeah.
Where there's smoke, there's fire, and you got to make sure that the smoke doesn't ruin your house. Right? Carrie's parents had a house fire. The fire damaged a part of the house. The smoke damaged the entire rest of the house. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So step two, call 911. That's it. You got to call 911. What does that mean? Call God first.
Come on.
Pray about it. Don't just jump into something half-heartedly. Pray to God about it. Get a conviction with God, and then call your brothers and sisters in. They're the rescue workers. We're all wearing the hats. We all have the axes. You know, every time that guy came outside and beat that garbage can, I was just loving that. I was like, oh, but that's we got to call people into our lives and really get the help. Call 911. Step three, lead by personal repentance. You know, I've never seen a marriage repent of something. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, how's your marriage doing?
Yep.
Oh, the marriage is struggling. Oh, but that's you and her. So it's the same thing. Repentance is you, and repentance is your wife.
Yep.
So husbands, what are we going to lead in personal repentance? The fourth thing, celebrate every single iota of victory.
Yeah.
Every single just hint of victory.
Yeah.
You prop it up, give a trophy, whatever you need to do, celebrate it. You lift it up, and in sincerity, you say, you know what, I see you working on this. And it is awesome. So you celebrate that victory.
Amen.
You know, in order to extinguish the arrows, we need the shield of faith. And we know what faith is. It's sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So that is the faith, that it's not about seeing the results. It's the faith of having that vision for our husbands, that they will change, they will grow. And for me, I know one thing I deliberately do is in our prayer, we pray in the morning together every day, and just thanking God for my husband and going through and thanking God for his different qualities and his strength and his patience and his mercy with me. And that helps me so much. Of course, he gets encouragement, you know, snuggling while we're praying. So that's good, too. It's like words of encouragement and physical touch at the same time.
I love those prayers. They're awesome prayers.
That's good. But for me, that... I actually, just preparing this class, he said, I know, I appreciate it because I see you deliberately working on it.
Yeah.
I see you deliberately working on setting your mind in the morning rather than just my list of critical things that I could think about or just worries, but to really set my mind on praising God and thanking him for my husband. And I think, can I talk about this?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. You know, the love dare was a plan of repentance, and we came up with a love challenge for you guys, and it's just a tool to be creative. We came up with 22 things for the men and the women, and they're not on the same day, so you won't be like, oh, you're trying to be patient with me, aren't you?
Men taking one with men on it, women taking one with women on it.
Amen.
Not too typical.
Don't look at the other one.
It's a tool to be creative and remind us of what we could do. And I know when we decide to do things like this, like just putting the list together was convicting. And
oh man!
Like wow. But then that did help me prepare for this weekend. It's like yes, I packed the lingerie, and yes, I brought a card and I wrote the Valentine's card out for my husband because I'm going to take my own challenge. You know, I'm not going to let it go. But I think we can be creative and seductive with our husbands. That's who we get to be seductive with. And make the moment special.
Amen. And just to clarify, day 20 for the women is a 5-minute massage. Amen. I won't say anything more about that. Amen. All right. So, moving on. Before I get totally embarrassed. Point number 4, and finishing it all up. Amen. Extinguish the flames of the world. Amen. Extinguish the flames of the world. This is the last point.
Come on, bro.
And only God, check it out, only God would set it up in such a way as to extinguish the flames of the world and Satan.
Yeah.
We just have to set a bigger fire, spiritual fire.
Come on.
That's what God does.
Yes.
And I want to share Acts 6 with you guys.
Come on.
And finishing this up, Acts 6.
Amen.
Come on, bro.
Great stuff.
Come on.
So what's the bigger fire? You know, get a bigger hammer. God light a bigger fire in us. And I'm going to actually All right, look at verse 3. This is where the Hebraic Jews were being overlooked in the daily distribution of bread, and they had to set up 7 guys to take care of their needs. And basically, they came up with an amazing system, and they talked about the men who they chose to do it with. Verse 3, brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. And it lists out Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, also Philip, and it goes on to list 5 other guys. Now, check down verse 8. Now, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders among and miraculous signs among the people. All right? Now look from verse 12. So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, this fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. What happens when you're full of the Spirit and you're full of God's grace is you get changed. And your very face begins to look like something all throughout the Bible. When the angels were there, what did people do? They fell down. It was the glory. It was the face of glory. It was a fire. That's what Stephen's face looked like.
Yeah.
And I just think, Philip had 4 daughters. Right?
Yep.
And I'm thinking, okay, you know how we have deacons, and we know that this is before really the deacon role was established. So that was developed a little bit more. And now, you have to be a husband, but one wife. Amen. Like an eldership. And so I picture all 7 men being married men.
Come on.
With families. You see what I'm saying here? They understand how to meet the needs. They understand how to really make sure that everyone is taken care of. Like their children. And I think, what does that mean for Philip? Philip had the daughters. But what does that mean for Stephen? That here Stephen was preaching the Word of God.
Come on.
And you see a man about his purpose, evangelizing the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, Philip got brought down the Gaza Strip, met an Ethiopian eunuch, and started probably the entire church in Ethiopia.
Amen.
Tens of thousands. That's a married ministry right there.
Yep.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's what started the married ministry. That's what started that ministry. And I think, you know, for us, we've got to understand, God's put us in this place in our life with an incredible relationship.
Yeah.
But that relationship is really a blaze of glory. And what is it supposed to be lighting? It's supposed to be lighting the fire of world evangelism. It's supposed to be a purpose for our lives.
Yeah. Come on now.
That we're going to ignite and fireproof other people's lives. That's what we're about. I know that's what you guys are about.
Yeah,
it's so encouraging to see all of you, and even to talk beforehand,
yeah,
to hear about the people studying the Bible. Nick was so excited about people studying the Bible. You guys are in the middle of an incredible harvest of love.
Man.
And I think for us, as we read the last scriptures, 51 to 60, in Acts 7, Stephen goes through and preaches an intense script sermon.
Yeah.
Now, I'm picturing Stephen being married with kids. Now, I don't know if you have something to refute that or not. But whether he was single or married, I think it's the same heart. Look at verse 51. And this would really inspire us to extinguish the flames of the world by setting the flames of God on fire. So verse 51. It says, you stiff-necked people, with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute?
Wow.
They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it.
Wow.
When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. Sound like your Bible talk?
Uh-oh.
But Stephen, full of the Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus, standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And finishing, while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees,
and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. Guys, do we think it's going to take anything less to evangelize the world? I think we do. I think we think, you know what? We've got a better way.
Uh-oh.
Part of us think, you know what? They had to die for their faith. But you know, today's world, media, all this technology stuff, you know what? It is going to take us dying.
Come on now.
It's going to take to evangelize the world?
Yep.
It's going to take the same thing they had back then.
Wow.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think the hardest, Stephen, is I'm going to, with my last breath, preach the Word of God.
Yeah.
As he's dying, he's saying, "Do not hold this against him."
Yeah.
That's what his spirit was filled with. God was filled with love, was filled with forgiveness. There's no way you could stop him from preaching.
Right.
And I want to encourage you guys, the Married Ministry and the Chicago International Christian Church, just go out and preach the Word.
Amen.
Use the blaze that you've been given and go and preach the Word, and we will be inspired by you guys. We will take back so many good stories, so much good news already that God has done amongst you. But guys, we got to preach the Word. And I think because he was on fire for God, he preached his last breath. We've got an F, first point, fan the flames of the Spirit.
Amen.
I, investigate the smoke. R, run away the flamethrower, Satan. E, extinguish the flames of the world, and you get a fire that will save the world. We love you guys. Amen.
Yeah.